Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. John and Paul once wrote together, "All you need is love." Ba, 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 ba. Everybody remembers the chorus of that famous song by the Beatles. The words say, "There's nothing that you can do that can't be done. There's nothing that you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing that you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing that you can make that can't be made. No one that you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. Love is all you need." Now, sometimes when I hear those words from the Beatles, I think, if everything's so easy and all you need to make it work is this love that you speak about, then why couldn't the Beatles make one more album? Why did they break up so quick? Now, don't get me wrong. I think that the song is a catchy song. I think it defines pop culture and the call for peace and love that was consistent with the time. But it is not, by any stretch of the meaning, what Paul the Apostle, not the Beatle, wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. The love that Scripture tells us about is hard. It's not easy. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul informs us, love is patient and kind. Are you patient? Kind? I was reading about, I mentioned this to some people this week, but I was mentioning to my son Noah, we were reading about God's characteristics, and it said that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And my son looks up at me and says, "Dad, you're fast to anger." It's not easy. Love does not envy or boast. Do you ever envy? Do you ever boast? It is not arrogant or rude, and it does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Are you ever arrogant, rude? Are you a person who insists on having their own way? Are you ever irritable? Are you ever resentful? Then you can agree with me when I say that John and Paul from the Beatles had it wrong. Love is anything but easy. This chapter of Scripture is perhaps most often read when? Weddings. That's right. It is obvious why a person would want this in their wedding. It's beautiful. In this chapter, we hear things like love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. People think, well, that's how I want my marriage to be. We will be different, the married couple tells themselves. We will really love each other and our marriage will last forever. Then 2 days later, while the couple is on their honeymoon or in some sort of dispute about directions or bills or what, you don't know what, they secretly wonder to themselves, was this a mistake? But I can tell you, for those that stick with it and stick through it, I've seen at 40 years, at 50 years, 60 years, even 70 years, and love has become a way of life, and it is a hard habit to break at the end of those marriages. But we can ask really quickly when things start to go wrong, what happened to love? It sounded so good just 2 days earlier as the pastor read the words, "Love bears all things, endures all things." Now, obviously, the couple is romanticizing the word love. Unfortunately, you and I can relate to their situation. As we found out before when we heard about everything that love is, unfortunately, we also read about everything that we are not. This is not something to smile at, really. We do because it's uncomfortable. But Paul informs us that if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I'm the wisest person at Purdue, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. I have nothing. Now, love, my friends, is not something that comes from in here. Whitney Houston once said, the greatest love of all is happening to me, and she's talking about all this self-love. I mentioned that in a sermon not too long ago, and somebody said it's interesting to note where she ended up. Alone, right? And dead. It's not something that I can muster up from the depths of my heart. No. When I look deep in my heart, I only find everything that love isn't. And sometimes it makes me sad. I find impatience. I find unkindness. I'm just speaking about myself, but I hope I'm not the only one. They're like, man, Pastor. But I find envy sometimes. And I do find pride. And I find arrogance. I find rudeness, irritability. I find resentfulness. And I find someone, when I look inside, whose natural tendency is to hide from the truth. I am sure I am not the only one of who this is true. I know that you also do the things that you hate to do. So if we do not have love, and without love we are nothing, then where do we get this love from? How do we know this love? 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that He, Jesus, laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Again, we read in 1 John 4:10, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment, for our sin." Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. So we receive love. We don't muster it. We receive it when we receive Jesus. For Jesus is the way that God showed His love for us. Then when we receive Jesus, we love others because of the love that was first given to us. David once wrote, "My cup runneth over." Jesus said, "Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit." When we realize how patient God is with us and how His love covers the multitude of our sins, it makes us patient with our brothers and sisters because we have been forgiven. We forgive. So how does this love, this Jesus, how does He come to us? To answer this question, we can look at our gospel lesson today. In Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus coming to the people at different times and in different settings and places, and really in different ways. Starting with verse 31, we read, "And Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, it was the day of rest when the people gathered together, stopped their work, they went to hear the word of God. And on this day, they were gathering around Jesus. They gathered around the Word made flesh, who dwelt among them. And Jesus was teaching them on this day. They were in a place of worship. And in this place, Jesus taught in a way and with words that they had never heard before. He preached. He cast out demons. It is interesting to note that the demons actually believed in Jesus, but they did not trust in him for their forgiveness. The people were amazed at the words and actions that God's love in this man Jesus did for them. And reports about him went out into every place and surrounding region. Now we too, we are gathered around Jesus this Lord's Day, this day of rest. And any day is a day of rest when you gather around the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We are gathered around God's love for us. This love that we need, this love that we are nothing without. We receive him as he teaches us through his Word this morning. He lets us know that our sins, which were caused by our lack of love, they are swallowed up in his love that was made known to us in our baptism as we were united with him in his death and resurrection. We first experienced this love when we were baptized into his name. Now in Romans chapter 6, it says in our baptism, we were united. And I always think about the greatest act of love that God gave for the world. It is the cross of Jesus. And it says we were united with him in our baptism into death. So that just as he rose from the dead, we were united with him in a resurrection like his. I can't get over the fact that that great act of love is given to me. It's tied to me. It's mine because of what he did for me in baptism. That cross on Golgotha, I'm united to in the waters of my baptism. The second place where we see Jesus received in the scriptures is in the home of Simon Peter. Here Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick with a high fever, and the scriptures say that Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and began to serve them. It's like 1 John pointed out, God's love spilled into this person, they were set free to love and serve their neighbor. This Jesus has also comes to us in our homes, within the pages of your Bible. I'm reading right now a book on Martin Luther and the translation of at the point where he's translating the Bible into the common language of the people. And it blows my mind. Every one of us in this room, and no matter where we are, if we got a cell phone, we have the entire Word of God. That is the entire counsel of Scriptures, the entire love of God written down for us in the palm of our hands. Anywhere we go, we can have it spoken in our ears, on our headphones. We can read it. It'd be great if we took advantage of it more, myself included. But here in their home, Jesus gives himself on the day of rest to Simon's mother-in-law. And our scripture continues. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now oftentimes we may find that as evening approaches, we feel paralyzed. Now this is allegorizing, and that's not always advised. But I'm going to do it. As evening approaches, I think we often feel paralyzed with doubts and fears. During these times, we try to escape by maybe we run to a pet sin, maybe an extra big scoop of ice cream that, like I had last night. But the scripture reminds us that as the sun goes down, Jesus invites us to take our worries, our burdens to him. And Jesus tells us, that, doesn't he, in Matthew 11, at the end of 10, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus is our true rest, and he is the love that our hearts so desperately need. And those people were bringing to Jesus problems that they couldn't solve. Well, how many of you can solve the problems that you mull over while you're laying there at night? You can't. You're not going to get up and solve the problem. You're just going to lay there and twirl it around. Bring it to the Lord. Without Jesus, we are a noisy gong, clanging cymbals filled with confusion. Even if we believe in God but do not trust in Jesus for our salvation, we are nothing. For even the demons believed in Jesus. And if in our pursuit of perfection, we sacrifice everything in order to get God's attention, try to gain eternal life, but we have not Jesus, we have gained nothing. The greatest of all is Jesus. In Romans 13:10, we read that love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So if Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, then Jesus is love in the flesh. The Beatles may have gotten it partly right. They said, all you need is love. The scriptures would have put it this way. All you need is Jesus. The Beatles also got it partly wrong because they said that love was easy. Love is anything but easy. Love gave up everything and came down from heaven to earth to die for your sins. Love is Jesus, and Jesus, at the cost of his very death and resurrection, he is patient. He is kind. He has borne all things. He hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never ends, and when Jesus comes, the partial will pass away. It is true that we do not know Christ's full love, and we do not love perfectly on this side of heaven. That's true. St. Paul says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. Even as I have been fully known. Who fully knows you? His name is Jesus. He is God's love for you. And before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. You are the object of God's love. No matter how great your sin, you are the one that Jesus came to love and to save. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he returns for you. Amen.